Our Father, we pray now that we may attune our hearts to the sermons that we are going to see and feel and hear and observe. And may each find that special place, and may we who are open be blessed according to the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the many reasons I love Jesus is that he had a human nature as well as a divine nature. He was human, divine. And it makes me feel good to know that Jesus saw a lot of things that I have seen, or reverse. It makes me feel good to know that I have touched some things that were like the things Jesus touched. And the same with each one of you. I'm not talking about Israel or the Middle East. I'm talking about the things that are right around King City. It just makes me feel good to know that, well, you take a common egg, for example. Jesus was aware of an egg. It makes me feel good to know that he was not so far removed from the cracking of an egg. He's not so far removed from, well, tripping and falling. Not so far removed from all of the human things that we are involved in. And it makes me feel good to know that as I have eaten an egg, Jesus, the Son of God, ate an egg. It sort of puts it down to, well, where I am, right here. That Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, right now in glory as my advocator to God, touched, handled, ate an egg. It sort of brings him down to where I am. It sort of makes me know that he connected the great mysteries of the kingdom with the common things of the house. And that's what he did. He took the very things that people were familiar with, and he made a parable about them. All he simply did was to take the people where they were in relationship to an egg, for example, or some other household commodity, or something that they saw every day on the street, and he tried to move the people from a point in time to a spiritual plane, which he did by the use we call the word parables. And again, it makes me feel good to know that my religion is just not a religion of this house on this day, but when I go home, the things that I'm going to see, the things that I'm going to be associated with, were also seen and associated by Jesus. It just sort of makes things different. Would you turn in your Bibles to Luke 11 and the Pew Bibles? It's page number 98 in the New Testament. Chapter 11 of Luke, verse 12. And we have the disciples coming to Jesus and asking him for some help in regard to prayer. And Dr. Luke, years later, recalling that incident, writes in this book that bears his name, chapter 11, verse 12. Or would you give him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? Now the context is simply this. If you will turn back a page, it says he was asking them, talking to them, discussing, dialogue about praying, and chapter 11 has as its title, Jesus Teaching on Prayer. And at the bottom of that column, in your pew Bible, at verse 9, it says, And so I say to you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks will receive, he who seeks will find, and the door will be opened to anyone who knocks. Would any of you who are fathers give your son a snake when he asks for a fish? Or would you give him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? No, as bad as you are, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more then will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now the disciples want to know how to pray. You see, they don't have the advantage that we have. They are from the Jewish background. They have the concept of the temple. And they were not taught to pray. And so they said, Jesus, come on, tell us how to pray. So Jesus gives this discourse on how to pray. And he's trying to tell them that the lesson, that our praying should be just be free and it should be just outpouring, communication between like a son and a father. He tries to teach them that praying is not a matter of kneeling, it's a matter of feeling. He tries to teach them some aspects on praying. And so he gives the illustration of the bread, the fish, and the egg. Now, the bread, fish, and egg are very common commodities. The people are familiar with the bread. If they live around the Sea of Galilee, they're familiar with the fish. This also tells us probably where he was when he gave this discourse. He was near the Sea of Galilee. Fisherman's delight, fellas, and gals too. A person's delight. When they would go and drop their hook in the Sea of Galilee, they were guaranteed a fish. So he talks about the bread, he talks about the fish, and he talks about the egg, the three commodities. And we want to center in just on the egg this morning. He talks to them and he says, now, if the Father gives good things out of the evilness in his heart, how much more will the Heavenly Father give his children out of the goodness of his heart? And the egg, well, it represents the egg of hope to me and can to you too. And the lesson is simply this. Jesus meant to bring out of the proverb a very simple thing, that God would not mock the disciples by giving them in answer to their prayer something that might be resembling that which they asked for, so that when deception was discovered, they would be harmed. You see? He says, if you ask for the egg, you're going to get an egg. You're not going to get a scorpion. Now, what was a scorpion? A scorpion was a little rascal that resembled an egg. It had a curved-shaped shell, its legs tucked in, hiding its stingy tail, and it resembled an egg. But when you picked up the scorpion, if you thought it was an egg, you would then see the deception, and you'd be stung. Jesus says you're never going to be stung, because God says, I'm going to give to you and not sting you. Now, the word egg is only found seven times in the Old Testament and one time in the New Testament right here. And when Job says, is there any taste in the white of an egg, he wasn't referring to a chicken egg, because chickens were not known to people during the days of Job. All they had at that time were various kind of eggs from maybe birds and fowl. And there were crocodile eggs as well, and pigeons and ducks. When Jesus walked the streets of Jerusalem, the chicken had been introduced, and there were indeed chicken eggs. So Jesus is talking about this common egg that everybody knew about. And he is saying to you today, this is the egg of hope, which I hold. It's the egg of hope. And Jesus is saying, you know, disciples, if that man down the street who is a father, rotten as he is, will give something really good to his children out of the rottenness of his heart, how much more will God give something good? Well, no father would be senseless to give something bad to his child, you would agree. Now, unlike that, I'm sure you never did this, but there have been people who have taken pennies and made them red hot and thrown them out on the street in the downtown area so that a beggar would pick the penny up. Oh, I've got a penny, you know, or a coin. He picks them up and then he crawls back with pain because he picks up a red hot penny. Deception. Or maybe on the school campus, there would be deception in some way. Maybe somebody would say to a child, look at this nice red hot, look at this beautiful red pepper pot. It's so delicious, take it. Well, they believe you. So they take a big bite out of the red pepper pot and they discover that it's a hot red pepper pot and their mouth just burned. This is deception. Jesus says God's not like that. God's never going to do anything like that. Now, the disciples had been asking for different things, and he's trying to tell them that God's going to be good. He says, in effect, if The father who is bad can give the good things to his son. He who made the father is going to give good things to the son. He who made the father is going to give those good things. Now the disciples had been talking about places of honor. They had been talking about authority. They had been talking about positions. But all of a sudden the cross comes. And only afterwards are their eyes opened and they can say and see that all that Jesus had promised had been fulfilled. When we pray to God, we're not going to be deceived in any way. The praying is not going to result in deceptions. There's always going to be an answer. If you ask for an egg, God's going to give you the egg, whatever that egg represents. But now there are eggs, and they're eggs, and they're eggs. But there's no deception from God. But as we look at the outward appearance, there may be a deception. Isaiah 59, verse 5, records these words. The evil plots you made are as deadly as the eggs of poisonous snakes. You crush an egg, out comes a snake. So they're eggs, and then there's a deception of egg, and that's seen with a crocodile or with a scorpion. But God says there's no deception with him. People are constantly mistaking what's good for them, and they're asking God for that which, if granted, would curse them. We take Sandy McKay, lived in Australia many years ago. Sandy McKay was from Scotland and yearned of his Scottish home. He would dream of it, he would write of it, and he just lived it all the time. And in his later days, he said, you know, if just I could see some thistles, I would love to see the thistles that I remember growing all around my home. He wrote to his friend in Scotland. He had just a small amount of thistles brought, or rather sent, to Australia. He planted the thistles. They took right on in the good soil. They grew, and it wasn't long before some of the purple part was going to the neighbor's yard and down the street and down the meadow. And today, the plague of those who live in Australia is a thistle. But it wasn't always there. But there was a man who said, I want it. And he got it. But what he asked for, and when it was granted, was just not the way it was to be. It became a curse. Now, the teaching of the egg is simply this, and it's very obvious. You must be very sure that when you ask for the egg, God's going to give you the egg. But make sure that it's the real egg you ask for and not what you think is going to be the genuine thing. Now you say, how in the world do I do this? Well, you simply leave it, the matter, into God's hands. You ask him to judge for you because he has given you the gift, that is Jesus the Christ. He's given you the guarantee, my friend, that he will not withhold any good thing from you. This is the guarantee. Okay, a little girl says, dear Lord, please bless my brother. He is sick unto death. Please save him. She's asking for this egg. The little boy dies. Why didn't God answer my prayer? I asked for my brother to live. And he's died. You take a little boy who says, Lord, let tomorrow be a sunny day. Because I want to go out and play and have some fun. I want to be happy tomorrow. I want to play on the corner lot all day long. And what happens? It rains cats and dogs. They don't understand. What I say to you is that God will never give a scorpion when you ask for an egg. He will not do it like this. It may be in different forms. For example, when you think of an egg, you think of an egg as you've seen me whole, but there are dishes that have been prepared that you have eaten that have had egg in them, but you didn't see the egg. It didn't look like eggs are supposed to look, but yet that egg had been prepared and placed in that dish, and you ate it. You ate the egg. So what I'm saying is that there are eggs and then there are eggs. I want an egg for supper tonight. It may be placed in a dish. There may be no visible shells, and we say, well, I didn't get what I asked for. But I did get the egg. It was in the dish that I ate. Now, what I'm saying is that when you ask for an egg, God is obligated to give you the egg. But there are eggs and other eggs. Now, there are twofold purposes of an egg. One, you eat it. And two, from it comes life. The egg itself took time and time and time to develop. And so it is that when we ask for an egg, we find two purposes. We eat it, which satisfies our hunger. We also receive from it life, which is not only for ourselves, but to other people. And if you'll turn to page 269, you'll find Paul writing in Philippians 4:6 something that is a result of our praying. Many things in life are best not to be eaten for the moment's hunger, but to allow to grow into future blessedness. And Paul says in Philippians 4:6, page 269, ask God for what you need, always asking Him with a thankful heart, asking for that egg. And then in verse 7, God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Christ Jesus. The peace. If you pray to God for an egg, no matter what you get from God, you're going to get the result of what you prayed for. It is for something. It is for peace. It is for happiness. The little girl that prayed, Lord, don't let my brother die, discovered that her brother went to that land where there was no more illness at all and prepared a way for her to go to that same place by her faith. The little boy that said, Lord, I want to be happy tomorrow, so don't let it rain. And yet it rained. Well, why didn't he want it to rain? He didn't want it to rain so that he would have fun. He found out that he had fun anyway playing in the house. The reason he prayed for that egg was so he'd have happiness. He had happiness. But he got the happiness not in the way he asked for. So my point is, there are eggs and then there are eggs. And whenever you pray to God, whatever may be the answer, the peace of God will keep your hearts. That's the key. When you pray to God for the egg, no matter how you receive the egg, it's the peace of God which will keep your hearts and mine. You see, you've got the egg after all. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but his answer was, my grace is all you need, for my power is strongest when you are weak. My grace is all you need. My power is strongest when you are at your weakest. So Paul says, Lord, take the thorn away. God didn't remove it. That egg was not given to Paul. Instead, the other egg was given to him, which was, my grace is sufficient for you. Jesus said, Lord, take away the cross. This is my egg I'm asking for. Well, God, in his wisdom, allowed Jesus to say, not my will, but thine be done. God's promise to give us what we ask of him, either the thing itself that you ask, or that which is equivalent, either the thorn removed or the grace sufficient. We've got it from Jesus' own mouth. But there's a price that you have to pay. You can't get the egg without toil. You can't get the egg without work. Today, if you want an egg, you have got to earn some money so that the egg can be purchased at the store. In the day of Jesus, it was much difficult. If a child asked for an egg, then you had to leave the city. You had to go to the suburbs like Bethany, because chickens could not be allowed to live inside the city walls. It would contaminate the city. So you had to go out of the city. You had to get the egg. There was a lot of toil. There was a lot of work. And the same with us in our praying. God cannot give you the egg of answered prayer without toil, without patience on your part. It would do no good if you asked for the egg and there was the egg. It's got to be through toil. It's got to be through work on your part. Because the wrong egg would surely hatch a scorpion and sting you. Now our praying for that egg comes about in a slow process. The egg grew slowly. Materials collected and prepared within before the egg could come. And our praying is the same way. You yourself must be prepared to enjoy and digest the egg so that it can be a part of your being and build up your life. The twofold purposes of an egg, that is, to eat and to produce life. So something's got to happen to me. Something's got to happen to you. You must be prepared. And that's where we are right now, preparing ourselves to receive the egg that God's promised to give us. If a good father can give a good gift, and if the father says, I'm going to give you an egg, I'm not going to give my son a scorpion. No, Jesus says the father wouldn't do that. If the egg is asked for, the egg is going to be given, not a scorpion. And he who made the father is going to give to you, the child, that which you ask for. Let's bow and pray, may we? Our Father, we're thankful that Jesus has made some pronouncements that we are going to claim at this hour. The pronouncement is that he is not going to deceive any one of his children. If we ask for whatever, we ask for the egg, God, holding true to himself, is going to give us the egg, and he's not going to give us a scorpion. There will be no deception with God. We're thankful, our Father, for the promise in your word that we can claim right now. And we do this in Jesus' name. Amen. To prepare yourself for that egg for which you've prayed, we've got to do something, and that is we've got to align ourselves with God. Hymn number 223 is a hymn about the Rock of Ages. And God stands today as that solid rock, asking us just to come to him and no longer drifting back to and fro, but we would be anchored securely. And the closer we get to him, as we sung earlier with our eyes turned upon him, we'll be able to see what is an egg and what's not an egg. So as we stand and sing, our invitation is manyfold. It first is an invitation to receive Jesus as your personal Savior, and find out how beautiful it is to have him for your rock. We invite you to step out and just profess his name and become a Christian in doing that. It's also an invitation for you to come forward and kneel at the altar and pray. And if, as you come forward, just indicate to me whether you want to do it alone or whether you want somebody to pray with you. If you want somebody praying with you, we have deacons and deaconesses and others who would come down and pray with you, if as you let me know. You may want to come for an anointing. You can talk to me about that. I'll be happy to anoint you. You see, there are a lot of things we can do, but it's all geared to make us all better from wherever we are to wherever we want to be. And that's done through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So let's stand and let's sing, and you be open to what God wants you to do right now.